DW Africa Link.
I want to make more money, eat healthier, exercise regularly, and finish 12 books before the year ends. Sound familiar? Well, these are my New Year's resolutions, similar to the promises many of us make each January. But here's the catch. Research on behavior change shows most people abandon their resolutions within weeks. So why does our motivation disappear so quickly? And how can we know if our goals are actually setting us up for success or for disappointment? Interesting, isn't it? Well, that's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
A New Year's resolution is a promise to change something about how we live, whether it's picking up a new skill, getting better with money, or focusing on health.
New Year resolutions are very important because it gives you vision. Inside that vision, you have realistic targets that you're looking at achieving at the end of the year.
New Year's resolutions for me are a way to reset and revisit the drawing board so that you are able to align on what your goals are.
To be honest, I've struggled with mine. This year, I promised myself to work out every morning at home. So far, well, I haven't done a single day. So what's going wrong? Not just for me, but for millions of people every year. To help us figure this out, I'm joined by life coach and HR consultant, Amma Ansa. Amma, welcome to Africa Link, and I'm sure it's not too late to wish you a happy new year. Did you make any resolutions this year, Amma, and do you mind sharing them with us?
Thank you very much, Eddie, and happy new year to you and your listeners. Yes, I did actually pause to reflect on my past, as in 2025, and made some decisions with regards to 2026. But what I need to tell you is that I did not just make resolutions. I set goals. I set goals around my family. I set goals around my intellectual development. I set goals around my spirituality. I'm a Christian, and that is very important to me. I also set goals around my health, recreation, and a few other things.
I find that interesting, what you just said. I mean, there's New Year resolutions and there's setting goals. Is there a difference? Can you explain that to me?
All right. Yes. The New Year actually gives us an opportunity to start again. So usually during the New Year, people make resolutions. They make promises to themselves that I want to do more of this. I want to stop doing more of that. And all these promises that we make to ourselves is to ensure that we grow, we make a positive change in our life, and we improve our lives. That is on the resolution front. But if you make these statements or these commitments without backing it with any solid plan, then you just have a wish list. Setting goals help you to know where you are going, how you want to go there, the support that you require to get there, and the outcomes that you so desire. So there is an additional component, not just to have a wish list, but to have a wish list, commitments, I would say, that are made into goals and backed by a solid action plan.
Huh, interesting. I've never really, I mean, obviously resolutions should come with, you know, meaningful ways to achieve that. But I think the way you put it makes it even clearer to me. So there's one thing, making New Year resolutions, and on the other hand, you have to make goals, steps to take to achieve them. Very interesting. So for instance, one of my New Year resolutions is to read 12 books by the end of the year. That's the resolution, I'm assuming, based on your explanation. So what could be clear goals for me to achieve that, for example?
All right. So your goal from your resolution is to read, to be able to read 12 books across the year. So I presume you would break it into smaller bits, let's say a book a month. And then you ask yourself, How am I going to do this? What times am I going to do this reading that I want to do? Who can help me to ensure that this plan that I'm putting in place, reading a book a day, who would I be accountable to ensure that the reading that I set out to do would be done? And how would I measure its impact in my life? Because you are not just reading, you are going to read to add knowledge to yourself and to make yourself a better person. So we've talked about the time frame, which you're going to do, like, let's say, a book a month. And then we know that the desired outcome will be you to be very knowledgeable enough to do the work that you are doing and see an improvement in your life. So that's how I would channel your activity of reading a book. So there is a process. You have your goal. There's a process you would go through, and there's an outcome that you would see at the end of the desired period.
Okay. Now I'm putting down all these tips to help me for the first time achieve all the resolutions that I put up at the start of the year. Also, is there anything as too many resolutions?
I honestly think so. Because I think at the beginning of the year, and I would say that resolutions, we don't need to have just resolutions at the beginning of the year. You know, life happens. So as we go through life, things actually pop up in our life that makes us sit back and think. And like the prodigal son, you would say that he came to himself. You come to yourself and then you realize that there are certain things that you need to do for your life to improve. But more often than not, sometimes we have too many things that we cram. And, you know, the brain has this much capacity. But we set up like a shopping list. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do that with no solid action plan behind it. So it becomes like a shopping list. So if you have too many, it becomes difficult for you to actually follow through to make it happen. So it's good to start small and build up as you go on.
So how many is too many?
How many is too many? I think it depends on the individual, but what I would recommend would to have just about a maximum of eight, but I would recommend between five and eight, I would recommend. And I'm saying that because when we make goals, we want to look at our entire life cycle, our entire life plan, and plan along the various facets of our life. So you can have something around your spiritual growth. You look at your family, you look at your health, if that's important to you. You look at any recreation that you want to have. You look at your intellectual capacity because you need to build yourself up for what you want to do. You look at your career. If you are in school, you like to look at your education. So if you look at the circle of life, and as we say, the wheel of life, you'll be able to come up with some goals along those key areas of your life. So between 5 and 8, I think you should be good to go for a whole year. I think that is quite a stretch because you have individual things, actions that you need to put in place to ensure that these things are accomplished.
So from some research that I did, it suggests that many, many, many more people fail at New Year resolutions than those that succeed at it. Some estimates put it at more than 80% of New Year resolutions fail by the end of February. Why is that the case?
Yeah, you're very right. Actually, I had a discussion with my son just a couple of days ago, and he was telling me about this statistic as well. That's a lot fail. And some, I would say, in all honesty, even fail before the February that is being talked about. A friend of mine went to the gym just this week, the beginning of the year, and she told me the gym was very, very packed. But just 6 days along, we've done 6 days, right? Yesterday, the numbers started dwindling along the way. And yesterday, the room was a bit free. So you are very much right when you say that some of them do not actually manifest into the outcomes that we desire. And I would say this is because sometimes we don't actually set the right goals. Research has proven and practice confirms that goals set should be smart. And when we talk about smart goals, we are talking about goals that are stretching, goals that can be measured. How are you going to measure the thing that you set out to do? Goals that are achievable. goals that are realistic. You know, you look into your own life plan and you know that these things are realistic. And then they should be time bound. Goals that are set should be goals that are smart. And research has proven over the period, and practice confirms it, that goals that are set in the smart way.
Oh, I see. So you're talking about the concept of smart goals. I saw that when I was preparing for this discussion. What exactly are smart goals? I'm assuming every letter of smart means something. Can you break that down for us?
All right. When we talk about smart goals, SMART is an acronym. And S in SMART represents stretching. The goals that we set must be stretching. Things that would actually stretch us, not the regular things that we do. And then it should be measurable. Whatever we set out to do, that goal should be measurable. We should be able to have certain milestones that we can actually see to say that this goal is being worked on. And then it has to be achievable. So we need to set goals that are achievable, that are attainable, not things that are way, way out of our control. Yes, some of the goals we'll set will need people to help us to realize those goals. But we know that we can get the necessary support, not goals that are unrealistic. So the R represents realistic. And then T is time bound. Whatever goal that we have should be situated within a time frame. So if it's, like we're saying, a New Year resolution, then we are looking at a 12-month period, that within the 12 months we'll be able to do this. But even within those 12 months, the individual goals that you set, they will definitely have a timeline. You want to read 12 books in the year. So it means every month, you know that you would read a book. You want to exercise every, let's say, maybe 2 or 3 times within the week. So it should be set within a time frame. So SMART means something stretching, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time bound. And we don't just set these goals in a smart way and then leave them to hang. It's important that these goals that we set from our New Year resolutions, we review them from time to time so that we know that we are on course in terms of what we are doing. When we go back into the corporate space, you know, year on year, organizations set goals and individuals within the organization also have to set goals to help achieve their strategic goal of the organization. However, within that space, it's structured. And that is what we need to do even for our personal goals. It has to be structured. And within that space too, you have somebody that would be actually giving you feedback over the period. That's your line manager. So you need, for the personal front, you need to have an accountability partner that would help you be able to speak to you about your goals and how you are working towards them. And then there is the end of year appraisal that people do within the organization. In the same way, when we set our goals from our New Year resolution process, we need to actually have it done in this way so that we'll be accountable and realize what we set out to do.
Right. I'm taking down some notes from all that you're saying. I mean, it's definitely important that the goals are achievable and realistic. I'm just wondering what happens to financial goals. You know, many of the goals, people want to make more money and, you know, double what they have or whatnot. I mean, in the current economic climate where inflation is high, you are never really certain how the economy is going to be the next 4 or 5 months. How do you deal with such financial goals in such a climate?
Yeah. Like you rightly said, we have no control over the economy. However, I think it's still important that we set our financial goals, even for the very fact that we do not know how things would actually turn out for us with regards to our economy. We just pray and hope for the best. It's important that we do that. And yes, we may not know how the economy would go, but we need to have our plans in place because, as I said, money makes the world go round, right? So we would definitely need money for the various things that we need to do. So we need to know where we are getting our income, so we'll be getting our incomes from. and also have a contingency plan. I know a teacher who actually is doing some extra work by doing Uber. So that is an extra stream of income for this person. He does it after school. He does it over the weekend. And that is one way we can actually supplement, he can supplement, sorry, his income and ensure that his financial goals are met. So it's important that we make alternative, we put in place contingency plans that would help us. I know some who write books, other do all sorts of little hustles to help them meet their financial goals. In our local parlance, we say, "Osumbodi asumkwedu." That's what we say in Ghana. It literally means when you actually grow plantain, you should equally grow banana, because you don't know which of them would actually yield the right results. So it's important that we look at alternative streams of income. We look at how we can use our time well to help us achieve our financial goals. We need to cut our coat according to our size.
Right. I like that one. You're giving me a lot of punchlines here, Amma. I'm a size L, so I would not wear extra large coat. So I got to be careful with that. But also, one thing I've been thinking about, because we're talking about these individual goals that people make, but I'm also thinking how effective it is, or it could or could not be, when people make goals together as a unit. Like, you know, 2-3 people come together and say, this is what we want to achieve. And maybe that probably creates a situation where we all serve as our brother's keeper, so to speak, so that we all motivate each other to achieve the goals. Is that a good way to also look at New Year's resolutions?
I think it's one great way that we can look at some of the goals that we set. Corporate goals, group goals are effective. And they're effective dependent on the fact that each person within that particular group is committed to the overall big picture and work towards it. I personally know people who come together and as a group, as a family, you commit to their spiritual growth. We are committing to reading the Bible as a family together so that we can actually be a check on each other to see how far we are going. And I think it really helps when we have group goals as well. Then we have accountability partners within that particular space. When we set up our plans for this year, for instance, my family and I, we decided that for some of the commitments, everybody had to choose. For the goals that we are making, we need to choose accountability partners. So some of my children have chosen me as an accountability partner. They've chosen some of their siblings as accountability partners. So within that particular group, we can actually hold each other up to ensure that we work towards a common good. So I think group goals are good. And it's something that can be pursued even beyond the family.
Nice. Look, I could go on and on and on, and I'm sure people listening are really learning a lot from this. As we wrap this up, Amma, give us your final words, some sort of encouragement, but also realistic scenario, you know, that, hey, it's still quite early in the year, 2026. What changes should people make, and what should people do now to ensure that they achieve their goals by end of the year?
All right, Eddie. I would say that it's important to set goals, because we need to know where we are going, how we want to get there, who we need to support us to get there, and also to come up to get the right outcomes. But what we can do is to start small. Early in the year, yet, it's a good opportunity to start small and grow as we go along. Let's not have a shopping list. And for us to be able to go through this process and achieve our goals, we need to be disciplined. We need to commit to what we are actually, we actually want to do, and be disciplined enough to let go of certain things to enable us achieve these goals. Because achieving your goal is not about when you feel like it. It's not about how you feel. It's about working towards it. Like you want to go for a run, but you'd say, oh, today is very cold, this summertime, I will not be able to go. If you set a goal, be disciplined enough to work towards it. And then there's the need for each and everyone who sets a goal to have an accountability partner. Somebody who can speak to you, somebody who speaks truth to power, give you the adequate feedback that you need to be able to do this. And it's about staying positive. I know that the statistics may not actually look favorable from what is being thrown out, but I always tell myself, why don't we work towards being part of the 20%, if it's 80% that will not work? Why don't we work towards being part of the 20% who make it work? And how do they make it work? They are disciplined. They are positive-minded. So they work towards their goals consistently. And the word is consistently. We need to celebrate our small wins, our little wins. Let's give ourselves a tap on the back. And when we are also not able to get it done, let's take something away from ourselves a bit to ensure that there's consequence and then there is reward. And finally, I like this thing about Steve Covey's matrix about things that are important, things that are urgent, things that are not important, and things that are not urgent. I think we ourselves, in making our commitments, need to assess ourselves and know which ones are important, which ones are not important, and be able to sift through the cracks, because there's a lot competing for our attention these days. Social media, things around us, our environment, our culture, everything. But we need to be able to decipher what is good for us at every particular point in time. And finally, let's learn to say no when we have to say no. Because sometimes we commit to so many things and we do nothing. We overcommit. If we want to realize our goals, I think we should stay consistent. We should stay disciplined. We should have accountability partners. We should celebrate our small wins. And sometimes deny ourselves of certain privileges if we are not able to meet our goals. And most importantly, add the God factor. It makes a lot of difference. Thank you, Eddie.
No, thank you, Ama Ansah. Thank you very much for sharing all these insights with us. Very much appreciated. It's still quite early in the year, so I'm sure we can get back on track and make sure that for the first time in a while, that our goals are met. Ama Ansah, life coach and HR consultant. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Eddie.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
So what resolutions have you made for the new year? And how confident are you of sticking to them? On the streets of Accra, Ghana, my colleague and DW correspondent Eric Mawena Egbeta spoke with Ghanaians about their goals and hopes for the year ahead.
New Year resolutions are very important because it gives you vision. Inside that vision, you have realistic targets that you are looking at achieving at the end of the year.
New Year's resolutions for me are a way to reset and revisit the drawing board so that you are able to align on what your goals are.
For this year, I've not made any resolutions. That's because I already have some things, agendas on my mind that are not accomplished.
Without routine, vision will lead you to frustration. So it matters that you are consistent every day. They should be very smart goals. They shouldn't be too big, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. And once we do this, I think that we are good to go. For Christians, it even helps when you pray a lot more and committed to God's hands. It helps you meet those targets.
I don't think too much of them because I feel like you can do that at any point in the year. But I think that for most people, it allows them to have a focus and getting to the year more focused and more determined to achieve things.
I look forward to locking in and making good grades as a final year student, graduating with a good class, and then being more financially responsible. So I'd be cautious of every single amount I spend on every single thing.
Well, I wish them all the best. Behavior experts say resolutions work better when people focus on the process rather than the outcome. For example, exercising 3 times a week instead of aiming to lose a fixed amount of weight. And instead of putting all the pressure on January 1st, psychologists suggest treating any week as a fresh start, making it easier to reset after setbacks. So, good luck with your resolutions. Please share your thoughts with us on Facebook at DW Africa. Listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Mind.